This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But this ain't no nostalgia show. We're gonna do something different.
Comic book heroes all find their superpowers. Elvis found music.
Bring that bass up, Jerry.
I wish to promote you, Mr. Presley.
I believe I can be great.
Some people wanted to put me in jail.
It's a Wells movie.
Don't so much as wiggle a finger.
I'm gonna show you what the real Elvis is about tonight!
In that moment, Elvis, the man, was sacrificed. And Elvis, the god, was born.
I would do anything to make sure my mom and daddy never had to live in poverty ever again.
I think if you dream it, you'll do it. You
do?
Yeah.
Colonel, you put an end to your boy's animal behavior, or we will.
There's a lot of people saying a lot of things. But in the end, you gotta listen to yourself.
You bled me dry, and you still want more?
I am a promoter. That is what I do.
What you say is God-given, so there can't be nothing wrong with it.
Baz Luhrmann's bold biographical film Elvis, with a remarkable performance by Austin Butler as Elvis, was recently named to the main competition at influential cinematography festival Camera Image, which opens November 12th in Poland. In advance of the event, today's guest is the movie's cinematographer, Australian director of photography Mandy Walker. Mandy's credits include Parklands, Lantana, Hidden Figures, Mulan, and Disney's upcoming Snow White. Working with Luhrmann, her credits include his 2008 film, Australia. She serves on the boards of the American Society of Cinematographers and Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. In 2021, she was appointed a member of the Order of Australia and continues to inspire the next generation of cinematographers. I'm Carolyn Giardina. Welcome to the Hollywood Reporter's Behind the Screen. Mandy, it's great to have you on the podcast, and congratulations on Elvis.
Thank you, Carolyn. Happy to be here.
Why don't we start with what attracted you to the project?
Well, I always jump at a chance to work with Baz anytime. And as well as Australia, I've shot, the two Chanel No. 5 campaigns with him, with Nicole Kidman and Giselle. And so this is kind of our fourth project together. And he contacted me really early on. I think it was like about July 2019, something like that. And I love the idea and I love collaborating with him. And I thought the script was amazing. And at that point, there was only a more basic script, but he talked me through the story and his approach to telling the story. And also, you know, he'd been working on it for 10 years and he'd gathered together a lot of reference material, and sort of him and Catherine Martin always put together basically like a lookbook that they have to present to the studio. And he showed me that, and it had like historical references and images of Elvis' life. And yeah, so it started from there.
And I'm sure most of our listeners know, but just in case, Catherine Martin is a producer with Baz, as well as the film's production designer and costume designer. Would you talk about the visual style that you centered on?
First of all, we had obvious historical references that people are very familiar with that still exist online, like Elvis Vegas performances and his 68 special at NBC, and two of the concerts. One was The Hayride, which was one of the first performances he went on tour with, where the Colonel discovered him, and then Russwood. And Russwood was documented by Wertheimer, the photographer, and he also took some 16mm footage. So for a start, there was this these concerts that Elvis had shot that everybody could look up and were familiar with. And so what Baz wanted to do was reproduce those as closely as we possibly could. So we spent a lot of time studying them and also working out the exact camera angles and lensing that they, how they'd shot it originally to match that. But also there was the drama of the film. So as well as reproducing these concerts as exactly as we could, just in everything, like even the lighting cues and the lighting design of the Vegas showroom. I did a lot of study working out how they did that and exactly where the cameras were and what lenses they were using and, you know, when they zoom in and when they crane out, things like that. But there was the drama of the film, and the drama of the film follows his life through, you know, a period of late 50s to when he dies in the 70s. And it's also got to do with the American culture that he grew up in and passed through and that influenced him, but also because he's such an iconic character and part of American history himself, it's how he affected American culture too. So there was those sort of points that I had to have in the back of my mind all the time. And so looking at photographs and also some of Elvis' home movies and things like that too, and his time in Hollywood. There was a lot of visual information there and how we put that together in our film and how we were going to take the audience on that journey was something that we spent a long time putting together. And Baz is somebody who he's a great collaborator, and he's very clear about getting everybody together, you know, art department, costume, hair, makeup, my team, which includes camera, grip, lighting, and making sure we're all on the same page. So we spend a lot of time testing and rehearsing with our little, Baz and I would rehearse with, like block through with Austin and the rest of the actors, Tom Hanks and with our Leicas, and we would get onto the sets, and he and I always run around with our little Leica cameras and look at images and angles. And that started really, really super early on with Austin. When he did one of his first auditions, I was there and took the opportunity to do that, to look at the angles on his face, to see where he looked most like Elvis, like what, you know, lenses looked you know, the most like a lens that was used in the footage that we saw. So I started really, really early on. And then Baz and I went to Panavision and we met with Dan Sasaki, the lens guru at Panavision. And we spoke to him about story and about the time that we were replicating visually, you know, the times that we were replicating visually. And we ended up making two pretty bespoke lens sets for the two time periods. And one of them was Elvis' life and up to when he lands in Vegas. And then after Vegas, we changed. And we shot spherical for the first half of the film. And then we shot anamorphic for when he goes to Las Vegas. And we kept a 2:40 aspect ratio through the whole film. So we shot on 65, Alexa 65 mil. And we decided on that pretty early on, actually, and we were looking at a lot of footage, and we both looked at each other and said, you know, this is a film for the big screen and we want it to be epic. And what better format to shoot than 65mm? It's epic, and his life is epic, and it's a big show. So that's how we got to that point technically.
Let's do the early part, the distinct look of the scenes when, you know, he's, you know, as a child in Mississippi, and those early inspirations that he receives, and then Memphis and the rest of those scenes. Would you talk a little more about the period look for those?
Mm-hmm. A lot of the reference for that, well, again, came from some of the photos that we found of Elvis and of the locations that we could see, like Beale Street in Memphis. Obviously, we found a bit of historical reference to that. And also a couple of photographers we looked at that we followed quite closely in terms of colour and tone was Gordon Parks and Sol Leiter. And by studying their photos, the other thing that we did do is, again, we tested a lot. Baz tests a lot, and we shoot tests. As soon as people come on board, it's a couple of months of shooting tests with all the elements and working out colour palette and costume and textures and how we move the camera, you know, and the lenses that we had made, we sent back a couple of times to be tweaked to get them exactly to the right place, and also lookup tables. So to get to the Memphis and Shake Rag, which is a very early Elvis when he's the 10-year-old Elvis, when he goes to the Pentecostal tent, a lot of that we found by looking at different LUTs, you know, in with our DIT and setting a look that complemented the tones that the art department were putting in, and we felt, and the location, like we'd go to the location and shoot tests as well. And so it was like refining and refining until we got to a place where we felt was correct for those scenes. And the same with Memphis. There was sort of a lot of pastel colours, a lot of secondary colours, and but also some colours pop out, like reds and green. And so we sort of would do a lot of kind of working with paint colours and things like that. And also just how we shot that footage was, you know, we did a lot more sort of observational, like not so much documentary, but more images that related to how we saw that still photography at that time. And but then there was always a drama. I mean, I talk about, like, Baz calls replicating the concert scenes, Baz called train spotting. Because there was train spotting, and then there was riffing, and there was also drama, points of drama. So once we got the train spotting, which was the, you know, working out the exact replication of the shots that were in the footage, then there's a drama of the characters and the drama of the camera, whether the camera is how the camera's observing Elvis or whoever's in the frame at the time, and his relationship to the Colonel, for instance. One good example of that is at his first show at the Vegas Showroom, where Elvis is performing his first performance, and the Colonel's off at the table selling him off for the next 5 years. So there's about the relationship of the two of them with in that situation, and then how when they get backstage, they're relating to each other at that moment. And so we always had to be cognizant of the drama points of those scenes as well.
Now, you mentioned that you really studied, you know, the camera angles and everything to get it just right. Would you elaborate on filming those scenes in Vegas?
Well, especially Vegas was one that, you know, Vegas in the 68 special, we followed to a T, you know, the coverage of the, well, for a start, the 68 special at NBC was shot in a TV studio in the 60s. And so I had to get some zooms in that I felt matched the zooms that they had. And then we also were, because we saw up into the lighting grid, had to get lights that were of the period and that they would have used in a TV studio at that time. And we scoured like all over Australia for old TV lighting. Same with when we were in Vegas too, we had to get some old rock and roll lights. And if they weren't there, we made some. And we made some TV lights with the art department and also the ground rows that they would use, you know, because the thing that I did was having the reality, but also wherever I could, I had modern lighting involved. So, for instance, when because it was easier and I could use LED, and if I could use LED, I could adjust, have more control of the colour and the dimming from a desk or an iPad we were on. For instance, the ground rows, you know, if we had to put real tungsten bulbs in those ground rows, they get really hot. And the girls were always draping on top of them and Austin was really close to them and they were being like touched all the time. So we got together with the art department, we made them and we put LED lighting in them so that we could control them more. And the same with, you know, a lot of the rock and roll lighting and at the showroom, for instance, we built about a third of that showroom, which included the fully backstage. We made fully backstage and down the side of the stage. And then the first third of the audience. So the second, actually it was probably a little bit more than a third, but that, so the continuation of the seats and the people was done in visual effects. But there's a particular shot in the documentary called That's the Way It Is that follows Elvis through that first show. And there's a shot that takes him all the way from backstage, from behind the backdrop, down the side of the stage where he tunes his guitar, walks to the side of the curtain, gets ready, goes on stage and starts performing. And we spent weeks, I know, rehearsing and plotting that journey. So we did it in one shot and we ended up going into the first three songs. So we shot it like it was that first moment of the performance of his journey through that performance. And we had, you know, five cameras all around plotted, but that main camera went on stage with him and shot it all the way through to the end of the third song. And then again, we do it again with our cameras in different positions. But we spent like months planning that and working out, like, again, the backdrop was something that I could light with LEDs because I could hide those lights in fixtures and have more control of the colour. But just in terms of doing that concept, matching the colour of the backdrop and the follow spot and when the follow spot went wide and when it went small, it was all rehearsed and to a T. And then we do dress rehearsals. And so it was like a lot of preparation for those moments.
The scenes at the International, that was a set?
Yes.
In Australia?
Yes. The whole film was shot in Australia.
Take us through that. So how much of the set was built and how many extras did you have? Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a really big set. I think it was on a stage. It was about 300 feet long and about 100 foot wide. So we built the stage up to the correct height. And so on that platform was built the backdrop, which we had a big silk made that went all the way around. It was a canvas that we backlit. And then so we could light the backstage area. And then there was... we built the whole of the onstage with all the instruments and the band would be, the side of the stage, and then the first, I'd say, about 60 feet of seating in front with the banquettes and also off to the side for the entrances to the stage. So it was a really big set. I don't know exactly the dimensions now, but it was a really big set. And we also... put in that huge gold curtain, that gigantic, and the mechanism for that, I can't tell you, it was a real feat to have that rigged and set up to be able to go up and down like in a theatre. You know, it was a big piece of dressing We had proper rock and roll lighting desk, but also that included our film lights too. And we had Parkhands, which are old rock and roll lights that they don't use very often anymore. And again, we had to source them from all over Australia, from old, you know, little concert halls and things like that, and brought them in, hundreds of them, because we would see them and they had to look real, and nothing really looks like that unless you have them. And so we would have them test a lot of gels, and I did a lot of like filming of testing of gels to get the right colour. And some of our crew, I remember some of the lighting crew, the young people, had not really worked with lights like that, like full tungsten lights, were getting burnt, changing the gels and everything. And then I had three fuller spots up on towers at the back. And so we would rehearse on camera so that we got all the colours right, tested a whole lot of different gels. And then for our camera positions, I would get all the camera operators in and the grips and lighting. Again, we'd have meetings where we'd sit and watch the footage and stop it and go, okay, this camera here, this one we feel like is 20 foot high, and this, it feels like this type of lens, and then we'd go and test that, and we'd have stand-ins, and we'd work out exactly what they were. And in the TV studio for 68 Special, we actually put one of our cameras in the housing of an old TV camera so that we would have exactly the right angle at the right time, and that we set up a little monitor that we built into it to look like one of the old black and white monitors. And so we could have it in shot, but it was also shooting one of the angles that we were replicating.
What was a favourite scene of yours to shoot?
I have to say I loved the showroom. I think the showroom was my favourite scenes to shoot, and because we did a lot of coverage there, and we also turned that stage into multiple other stages when we were doing our montage sequences for other concerts, and we would change the colour of the backdrop, and then I would change the colour of the lights, and then the art department would move and change the instruments, and sometimes, you know, the stands that the instruments are on, or take them out and create different levels and change the flooring. And but we did it pretty quickly, actually. But I think the showroom for that opening night is my favourite, and I'm really proud of it, because I feel like there is some footage at the beginning of that sequence that is the real showroom. It's from the real film. And it was 35mm anamorphic footage from that MGM, I think it was, shot. I can't remember. Anyway, we had footage from the original documentary, and Baz got access to the outtakes too. So we studied it really meticulously. And so when you see that sequence, there's real documentary footage from that movie integrated with our footage. And that happens a couple of times where you go back and forward. And the other thing we did for a lot of those montage sequences, you know, where we had the split screen, is we added film grain to some of the images to match up a little bit more with the archival footage. And that includes, like, also what looked like Super 8 footage that Elvis had done himself, and some of our footage that we shot. And so it's all sort of integrated to be different sort of elements that fit in together to create that sort of vision of history that we know, and that we can see. You can go on YouTube and see that footage, and fans would know it and recognise it. So we were very meticulous about how we rehearsed that. And you know, a lot of our tests, actually, and this is always the same with Baz, when you shoot tests with him, a lot of those tests end up in the movie. So we'd be doing very, very early tests, like with Austin on stage, for whether it was costume or just looking at lighting colours or whatever, and they're in the movie. And some of the Super 8 footage of him, like, riding the golf cart round at Graceland, that was a test, and that's in the film. So I always am very conscious of that when we're shooting, because it's not like you're doing a test that is arbitrary. It always means something, and it's always, whether it's telling us or, you know, forming ideas for how we're going to shoot things, or it is what we shoot that's in the movie. You know, you always have to, I always have to be cognizant of that along the way in pre-production. But like I said, we do things like for the, you know, the motorhome that, that Elvis has outside MGM Studios, that it's where he, when he's during, when he's shooting the Hollywood movies, and Priscilla comes in, you know, there's a couple of scenes in that motorhome and with Jerry Schilling. We built that for one shot, which, you know, it was in terms of the structure, so that we could do that big crane shot where we pull back with Elvis and Priscilla for that that sequence where he's introducing the Memphis Mafia, and just before they go, when they're going to Hollywood, and we put the crane in there. And so we made sure that, that we could have our big Technocrane, Scorpio, 45-foot crane, start at the back and be able to come all the way back with him at his eye height and drop down at the right time. So we built the structure so that that would fit, but also at the same time we'd use it to test the different colours of red, the reflective surfaces, the mirror, the gold, the costume in that environment. And so a test was never wasted. You know, it was always all the elements. You would never shoot, Baz would never shoot like an actor on a grey screen for costume and makeup. There's always other, there's a whole lot of stuff we're going to test at the same time, whether it's a part of a set or a set or an exterior or some props or something, that, that it always ends up being very informative for everybody, actually.
And then he sang live during the shoot, is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And I think it was up to about halfway through the movie, it's Austin singing. And then it's Austin singing over Elvis or with Elvis, and then it's Elvis' voice after that.
Really captures the energy of the performances.
Exactly. And just, you know, the energy of his moving and dancing and the way he performs was very inspiring to everyone. And because we would spend so much time all becoming very familiar with these sequences of the movie, I remember one of the camera operators said to me, you know, I know when he's going to put up his hand and do it really quickly and go like this, and I'm ready for it, you know. Or, for instance, even in Hayride, when we were doing that, the first that concert with the pink suit, you know, and he was wiggling and dancing and the pants were... CM spent a long time getting those pants just perfect, you know, for the way he moved. And then I just know that we knew he was going to throw his guitar out the way and that, you know, that he's going to wiggle his hips, and everybody was ready for that. It was never sort of a situation where we would be not prepared, you know, and we spent, Baz is very good at that. But what he does at the end of that, so we've got all this stuff, the train spotting, the drama, and then a lot of times he'll do what's called riffing, and it means that he's seen something or he has an idea or he's in the moment and he feels the emotion of something, and he'll say, okay, and he'd stand next to the crane and be directing the crane move and the focus and the you know, the lighting even and the grips, and he's like a conductor, and he will be near the camera and he's where everybody's watching, and he will do a shot or a couple of shots that is what he calls riffing. And it's always in the moment. And a lot of times it's just something that happens from what's happened in the drama, or the actors have brought something to the scene. And it's like, I always say he's like adding icing to the cake. Like it's always something that adds to what we've already planned, and all that, you know, you feel that emotion in the moment is basically what it is. And for instance, there's one sequence that we did that reminds me of that working in a really good way is when Priscilla is leaving Elvis at Graceland, and we built Graceland exterior on location, and we built the interiors on stage. And we built the two levels, the ground floor and the first floor, separate. So they were all both on the ground level. And there's that scene where she's leaving him in the bedroom, And we were planned to do that shot in the bedroom one day. And then the next day we were going to go and do the downstairs as when they continue and they're coming down the stairs and, you know, he's crying and she hugs him and she leaves. And when we were rehearsing it, we were doing it in one set and then we moved to the next set. And Baz said, why don't we just shoot it all in one? Like, why don't we just keep going? Why don't we keep the cameras rolling and we all run to the next set and sit and just stop and keep rolling? And so it meant that the actors were in the moment and it was a really emotional scene. And so you had 30 people, we rehearsed it again, 30 people kind of running from one set to another, reframe, the lighting would change and boom, and we'd keep going. And it was in the quickest time that we possibly do it. But again, it's not a documentary, it's a drama. So it wasn't like we were just winging everything. It was always, you know, within the style of the movie that we were shooting. And the visual language, we never, you know, went away from that and all of a sudden said, we're going to go handheld and crazy. You know, if we were going to go handheld for a scene, it was planned beforehand. And in that sense of you know, what would suit the drama of the moment, for instance, when Elvis is going pretty crazy in his hotel room and he's shooting the TVs and there's a girl in his room and he thinks somebody's out to get him and he's opening the door with a gun. And that we shot handheld because it felt right for that, the drama of that scene and the emotion of that scene.
Do you want to talk about another scene early in the film when he's a young boy in Mississippi and he's watching the dancers through the crack and your lighting, just having it streaming in between the boards, I thought was...
Yeah. Well, it's a very basic location, you know, because it's a shed out in a very poor area. And how are they going to have like a sexy nightclub sort of feel to the music and the atmosphere? So for me, I remember getting together with Baz and Catherine and Karen Murphy and working out that, you know, these shafts are like, they're like little spotlights, you know, they're like lighting that's giving a mood to this scene, and it's dark and even though it's daylight coming in. And to Elvis, it was like something really sort of otherworldly and special. And, you know, there was sexiness to the dancing and the singing was soulful, and the way that we set that up and the sort of she was wearing that red dress. And so I wanted to create that feeling that it was like a, you know, a very sort of, yeah, it's like the version of a nightclub without any lights, without any structure of that you're used to. And, yeah, and then the same with, you know, when we went to the Pentecostal church, you know, he runs across the road and there's like shafts of light coming through. It's like there's holes in the tent and there's big shafts of light, and he ends up sort of in the middle in this ray of sun at this special moment when he's feeling the music and it takes him away. And so it's sort of, how do we create that in a natural setting with daylight and with no, it's like it's lighting that happens that creates a mood without lights, without structure. But it was how to create that feeling to an audience of his experience.
How did you feel after shooting the big concerts?
Very elated. We would all go home singing, and because the songs are fantastic, you know. We would, I really loved it, and I felt like I was there at that concert, you know. And I was really proud of what we achieved because it was a huge achievement. I think I was really happy with everybody's work. You know, it was really great. Everyone loved being there for those scenes.
So next, you're on Snow White, and you've been shooting in London and now LA, is that right?
Yes. I've been on this for nearly, well, actually a year, almost a year.
Anything you could tell us about the film?
Not yet. I can tell you we're doing live action Snow White, and Mark Webb is the director and Rachel Zegler is Snow White and Gal Gadot is the Evil Queen and Andrew Belknap He's also the lead, and we're the male lead, and we're having a great time. It's really fantastic. It's very different than Elvis, so it's exciting for me. It's been fun.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview. It's always great to talk to you, Mandy.
Oh, thank you, Carolyn. Same here.